feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to have an effective ministry? Of course you do. But sometimes it just doesn't seem possible. Sometimes we try to share the gospel with people and all we get are walls that we just can't seem to penetrate. And then we also realize our own depravity and feel like we are not worthy to be used by God anyway. And so we feel like giving up. But in our study in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we are looking at a story that gives us a fresh perspective on this situation. This is the story of David capturing Jerusalem. The Jebusites who controlled the city said that David couldn't even beat the blind and the lame, so he certainly could not capture the city. But David knew a couple of things that the Jebusites did not understand. First, he knew that God will help them find a way in. Second, he knew the kind of people that God can use. He can use people who are blind and lame. Let's now join Pastor John as he continues this teaching and explains about the kind of people that God uses.
David and his men took the city. How? David said to his boys that day, he said, "Fellas, the first one that can find the gutter and shimmy up the shaft is going to be my general, is going to be my captain." See, because Jerusalem sits in an elevated position with valleys on three sides, there is a gutter or a shaft, we would say today, about 75 feet vertically that goes from the floor of Jerusalem straight down to the Kidron Valley down below where the water would flow. And what would happen is that they would take the water from the Kidron Valley, from Siloam there, and they would actually bring it up through the shaft, 75 feet up, and bring it into the city. Now, the entryway into that shaft would be camouflaged, hard to find. And David knew, though, that they had to have water up in the city. They couldn't survive without it, obviously. David said, "Whoever finds that shaft, that gutter, whoever finds that shaft and shimmies up is going to be my man." There was one that found that shaft. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 tells us his name was Joab. Joab was not the greatest guy in the world, as we shall see in future studies. He was not the greatest guy, not by any stretch, but this he did do. He found a way to get into the city. He discovered where the entrance was into the shaft. "I've been in that shaft. I've stood in that shaft. I've looked up, and I've often pondered, how did Joab do that? I don't have a clue." But he made his way up the shaft, came to the city, and then went through and opened up the gates for David and his men to pour in and wipe out the Jebusites, you see. From that time on, Joab was David's general. Joab was David's captain. Joab was David's man. Even though he wasn't the greatest of guys, yet this he did do. He found a way in. He shimmied up the shaft. When others didn't, others couldn't, others wouldn't, Joab did. And because of that, David said, "You're the man. You're my general." And for the next 40 years, Joab would be just that. Joab would be David's general. Now, the lesson, an important one for you, an important one for me. Because you see, we too are serving a greater than David, the son of David. We have a king, the King of Kings. And our King, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, desires to do so many things. To take that city and that county and that group and that person and that couple and that family, our King, Jesus, wants to beat back the Jebusites spiritually. Those that are keeping people in bondage. Jesus Christ wants to see those forces trodden down, just like the Jebusite name means. He will be trodden down. And what does the Lord do? He comes to a group of people like me and you. And what does he say? I want to take on that town. I want to touch those folks. I want to talk to him. I want to see her saved and brought in. And the first one that will shimmy up the shaft, so to speak, is going to be my man. You might not be, I might not be, we might not be the greatest. We might not be the most worthy, the most qualified, the best trained, the most spiritual, whatever it might be. But I'll tell you this. This is a lesson, a story, an illustration of what our King is after. Just like King David said, the first one in is my man. The Son of David, the King of Kings, says to you and me, the first one that will find a way, I'm going to use mightily. See, this is the thing. There are things that the Lord puts on your heart, thoughts that he places in your mind, things that you know that the Lord would want to do in touching that neighbor and having that Bible study and reaching those folks and getting involved in that ministry. You know that that's the heart of the Lord. And that thought is in your mind and it just won't leave. It just won't go. But then you hear the taunting of the enemy. No way! You're blind, you're lame. No way are you going to make an impact. No way is that going to work out. No way is that going to take place. Forget about it. That's what the enemy says over and over and over and over. Yeah, I can't do that. I can't talk to him. I'm not going to be able to witness to her. I'm not going to be able to do that or go there. I'm just blind and lame. If that's the way you see yourself, Leviticus chapter 21 says something of interest to you, to me. Leviticus 21, right around verse 18, it says, those that are blind and lame shall not serve bread in my house, saith the Lord. What? Those that are blind and lame shall not serve bread in my house, saith the Lord. Well, then how can I be used to give out the bread of life? How can I be used to help out the children of God? How can I be used to share the good news of the gospel? I'm blind and I'm lame. Listen to me. This is important. It's true. The enemy does point out that you, that we are blind and lame. But in Luke chapter 21, or pardon me, in Matthew chapter 21, listen to this. Jesus went in to the courtyard of the temple. And it says, when he was there, he says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them all. I like that. The Old Testament law says the blind and the lame cannot come into the temple and serve holy bread. They're disqualified from ministry. But in the New Testament, Jesus shows up and he meets the blind and the lame in the courtyard of the temple and he heals them totally. That's the thing. I have been touched. You have been too, because we're in this temple. We're with our King who wants to set me free and help me to see. I don't have to be blind. See, the thing is, faith sees what can be. Faith is the bird that sings in the morning before the sun has risen, before the day has broken, before the light is seen. Faith is the bird, that thing in your soul that sings, that says, I know this doesn't make sense, but I feel in my soul, it's something which I feel deep within me that the Lord wants to do for you or for her or for them. And I want to be used, Lord, so use me to talk to him. Use me to go there. That's what William Carey said, the great missionary who made his way to the subcontinent of India in the 1800s and opened up India for the gospel. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Shimmy up the shaft. Others would say, well, we just can't find a way in. And even if we do, the shaft is too steep, the challenge is too great, or I'm afraid of heights, or whatever it might be. William Carey would say, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Do something which is so grand, so big, that if God is not in it, it's bound to fail. That's the key. The Jebusite, the enemy, Satan, the demons will say, you don't have a prayer. That's silly. You're a lame brain. You're blind to the facts. But Jesus would come your way and say, but I'm here to open your eyes, to get you to walk, to take a step of faith like you've never done before. I'm here to say, yes, I will use you if you'll step out and say, okay, I'm going to shimmy up that shaft. Here we go, Lord. Do something. Step out. Step up. Step in and say, Lord, even as Isaiah said that day, here I am, send me. Let's do it, Lord. David. David himself was a man that took great risks, didn't he? He took on Goliath, 9 feet 6 inches tall, minimally. What if David that day killed a dwarf and not a giant? Would he be remembered? Would we tell stories about him? Would we give sermons on him if David killed a dwarf? No. Everybody else said, that's impossible. Look at that guy, 9 feet 6, or perhaps 11 feet 3, depending on how you measure a biblical cubit. Everybody else said, no, 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 that's crazy. He's too big to hit. David said, I don't see it that way. He's too big to miss. And David got his sling and put in his rock, and round it went. And you know the story. Others said, no way, can't be done, too tough. David said, oh yeah, let's just see. I'm going to go out into that valley of Elah and watch what God's going to do through me and with me. Amazing. Listen, don't be afraid to go out on a limb, because that's where the good fruit is. The good fruit is way out there, folks. You got to climb the tree. You got to go out on the limb. And so many times people will say, no, that's risky out there. Don't think about that. That's not going to happen for you. Don't be dumb. Don't you see? It's a blind alley. It's not going to work out. And the Lord might be saying to some of us today, that's the voice of the enemy, the Jebusites. No way, David, no way. The blind and the lame can keep you out of our city. But there was a man in David's company, a guy, not the greatest guy, but he had one huge quality. He said, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. I'm going to shimmy up that shaft. I'm going to go to the top. I'm going to do what others say I can't, because my king, my king, my king has asked me to. My king has put this challenge before us. My king has said he wants to take that city. And I suggest to you that our king is whispering in a lot of our ears, or stirring in a lot of our souls, or writing on a lot of our hearts, I want to do this and touch them and go there and take that. And the first one who will step up, the first one who will go in, the first one that will take the risk to shimmy up the shaft is going to be my general, King Jesus would say. I'm so glad that when the Lord began to stir in my soul to go to a place called Rouge, Oregon, and I was young back then and had a 7-month-old baby, Peter John, and we just felt this tug that was being pulled on the strings of our soul. And we got advice, and others would say, "You're going to Oregon? What's there? Why would you do that? The church here is flourishing. This is where you're from. This is your people here in San Jose, California. How are you going to make a living up there? Who's going to come out? What's in Oregon? Where is Rouge? What's that about?" And good people, wonderful folks, lined up and said, "John, don't go. That's lame. Are you seeing things clearly? You're headed down a blind alley, if you ask me." But I knew it was something which had to be done. I had to do. So I grabbed Peter, John, and my wife, and we packed into our Volkswagen. We had $100 to our name. Everything we owned fit in that Volkswagen as we made our way from California to Rouge, Oregon. I am so glad I did that. Even though people all around me were saying, "Don't go there. San Jose, hey, look what the Lord is doing here. This is where you need to be." But it just wouldn't leave my mind. I just couldn't get over the tug that was on the strings of my soul. And I got up here, and we began to share, and we could not believe what happened. Because people started getting saved right away. Lots of people. And the church began to grow immediately. And it grew and grew. And we split off the Grants Pass group, and then the Medford group, and then the Ashland group, and then Trail, and so forth and so on. But every time we split off another group, this church just kind of kept on growing too. And we were amazed. I couldn't believe it. In that first year, I discovered the secret. And that is this. Before I came, many years before I got here, a group of ladies were meeting right down the road up in the hills behind Cantrell Buckley at a home. They were meeting every week on Wednesday morning to pray. And one of the primary purposes of that prayer meeting that went on for a number of years was to pray that God would do something miraculous in the Applegate Valley, that there would be a church, a ministry, a revival in the Applegate Valley. Now, 25 years ago, I mean, this place was Podunkville. Now it's boomed, as you can see. But back then, 25 years ago, for a group of ladies to gather together faithfully and say, "Lord, do something special and impacting in the Applegate Valley." Amazing. See, this is what you got to know. The Lord heard the prayers of those women who faithfully prayed week after week for a number of years. The Lord heard their prayers and honored that and said, "Okay, ladies, I'm going to bless the Applegate Valley. I'm going to do a work there that's going to impact lots of people. First one that shows up, I'm going to use." And it just so happened that I put it up in my Volkswagen, this Joab, this jerk. I just happened to be the one that showed up. I just happened to be the one that walked in to what God was desiring to do. King Jesus said, "I want to take the Applegate Valley." King Jesus was saying, "I want to do something in Rouge. I want to do something in the Rogue Valley. And the first one that finds their way in, I'm going to use." And I puttered up in my Volkswagen. And guess what? I walked in and I got to be used. We've got to be used. That's the way it works. See, the enemy will say, You're not this, and you're not that, and you're not ready, and that can't be. You're too old, you're too young, you're too dumb, you're too lame. But God would say, hey, that's not my heart. I use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I'm the one that heals the blind and heals the lame. Jesus would say, those that come to my temple, even as they did in that day, I healed everyone. The law would say, you can't be used if you're lame or blind. Jesus would say, I've got good news. I'll heal you if you'll just allow me to. The Jebusite will say, you can't come in. It won't work. Forget about it. But the Joab will say, want to bet? I might not be the greatest guy. I know that. I might have lots of problems. It's true. But this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to shimmy up the shaft. Let the chips fall where they may. Let people say what they want. This is what I'm going to do. Because King Jesus, I know that you want to touch that group. King Jesus, I know that you want to take that town. King Jesus, I know that you want to work in that family. King Jesus, I know that you want to touch my neighborhood. So here I am. I'm going to step up. I'm going to go out on a limb, way out on a limb, because that's where the fruit always is best and ripest, you see. I'm going to respond to that feeling, that bird that sings in my soul, that sings because he feels the light before the light actually appears visibly. I'm going to take that step. I'm going to shimmy up the shaft. And King Jesus would say, good for you. You're going to be my general starting this very day. The one who will expend the energy and take the step and press in and persevere, continuing on all the way up. He, she, they will be my general. King Jesus has so decreed. My prayer for you, my prayer for us, my prayer for me, oh Lord, help me not to miss the opportunity. Help me not to miss, Lord, the chance to make my life impacting to the greatest possible degree. And I know that means I mustn't listen to the Jebusites' taunts and the Jebusites' teasings. I must not listen to that. But I must say, because Jesus, I know this is where your heart is at. You want Jerusalem. You want that city. You want those kids, whatever it might be. I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to find a way in. I'm going to shimmy up the shaft. And Lord, have your way. Use me. And he will. He'll use you. He'll use us. He'll use me. Guarantee. Take that step of faith. Whatever is on your heart, whatever he's written there on the table of your soul, take it seriously. There'll be opposition, I promise. Lots of people will be saying, no way. You're not this, and it's too late for that, and all the rest. And you'll have a choice to make. Whether you say, that's right, it's true. I'm too lame. I must be blind. I don't see things clearly. It's crazy. Or you can say, King Jesus, I hear your heart, and I'm going to continue on and do what I know you want to do in that location, with that person, in that situation, and watch and see how he'll bless you. I guarantee.
Be bold. Step out in faith. Do those things that God has put on your heart. And as you do, God will bless and he will use you.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.